It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and thank you so much for listening tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, see what the Lord has for us. Oh my, I wish you'd have been with my wife and I Sunday. 15 people came to Jesus. We led a young Catholic boy to Christ, and I'm telling you, I never saw a man so happy. He wept like a baby. Friends, listen, I'm not trying to put down different churches or religions. I just said, get into the book. This is the only book. It's God's unerring word. If you're doubting life, look in the book. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to live. He'll tell you how to die. He'll tell you where to go and how to give. Listen, kick off your slippers. Let's see what the Lord has over, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 16th chapter of Exodus, and let's begin reading with the first verse. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, that ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmuring against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, and what are ye? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurs. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurs of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. We've labeled this bread from heaven. Oh, friends, listen. You and I can relate to this. Oh, yes, we can. We certainly can relate to this. It says here, Moses was leading the promised seed toward the promised land. Now, these are descendants of Abram. They were headed to the land promised to him. Listen, God will not let them starve in the desert, but manna for murmuring people. Now, we were reading verse 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto him, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Boy, they were ticked off. Man, these people became hungry, and what'd they do? They started to complain. Who are these murmuring people? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They had been slaves, but now they're free. Had been trapped, but now they're triumphed. Had been thirsty, but they were given water. What their grumbling did to them. Let's read verse 3 again. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord of the Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill a whole congregation with hunger. That's what they figured. And see, now they're blaming Moses and Aaron. It's you guys' fault. It sure is. Well, it made them say things they did not mean. The would to God that we'd have died out here, down in Egypt. Made them exaggerate the very facts. And I tell you something else. It made them doubt their dearest friend. Friends, you know, God called Moses for this job. Now, why did God get a hold of Moses? Well, first of all, because God saw the sufferings of his people. He saw them being beaten, and it was awful. Oh, my stars, it was awful. But God, in all of his compassion, said, I have got to take care of these people. So he called a man who had been out in the wilderness for years and years, herding sheep. Here was a man who was raised in complete royalty. Boy, Moses knew all about the good things of life. But when he saw them killing his people, he couldn't bear it. I just won't put up with it. Well, their murmuring really was against God in Moses in the 8th verse. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, which are, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Friends, listen to me, and you and I can relate to this. We've murmured, haven't we? Sure we have. You know, the night before my wife and I and children was in that terrible automobile accident up in Linden, Washington, the scripture I read, and I can't tell you where it's at, but I read it that night, and God said, and I was murmuring, I was complaining to God, and the Lord said, read this. And he said, I will show you that I am the God of heaven. Now, the next day when we had that accident, we could have all been killed very easily. There was no other car involved. My car flipped end over end. The front end went out, and we rolled down over a bank and into a creek. Now, my son was, when I came to, my son was sitting on the bank, blood running out of him. My other girl was in the back, and she was bleeding. And my other son, he was bleeding, and I couldn't find my wife. You said, what? No, I could not find my wife. And I got out of the Jeep, and I went around behind the Jeep, and I saw my wife's feet sticking out from underneath the Jeep. I tried and I tried to lift that Jeep up. I couldn't do it. But three farmers heard the accident and they came running over there. And those three farmers got down and lifted that Jeep off my wife. She had a broken collarbone and she was all cut up and stuff. Now, and guess what I had in my leg? A roofing nail back into the bone of my leg. Now listen to me. Here's what I did, friends, and I know you're going to say, oh, Cecil, you didn't. I sure did. Let me tell you what I did. I said, gentlemen, thank you for saving my wife. And I said, let's bow for a word of prayer. And I said, oh, God, you have proved to me that you are the God of the heavens, and you spared my family's life, spared my life. Well, I was laid up for 3 years, But, oh, my stars, through those 3 years, God proved to me 1,000 times what he was. Well, again, it says in the 8th chapter, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now he said, I will rain bread from heaven, not the fire and brimstone that they deserved. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. Think back in your own life. When you come into a crisis, and it might have been life, it might have been death, it might have been financial, but God, in all of his mercy, came to those people and took care of them. And that's the kind of God we serve today. His grace and mercy spare us each day. We've sinned against God, but he is merciful. Now, only the Lord's mercy keeps us from destruction. And I read in Lamentations 3:22-3. It is the Lord, it is of the Lord mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. There are new every morning. Great is that faithfulness. And you know, friends, the night they took me into the hospital after that car wreck, it was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and the wind was a nice cool breeze off of the bay, and the window curtains were flying in, and I just laid there and I just wept. And then I started singing, Great is thy faithfulness. And I knew that God was faithful. I knew he did a miracle in our lives. So whenever you complain against the Lord, think. Just stop and think. What is it that he's trying to teach me? And friends, let me tell you what. I told you a long time ago when I had tumors taken off my neck and off my arm. And I was in the hospital in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I got infection in those dumb things. So I was hospitalized for 3 days. Now, this nurse walked into my room, and she said, Cecil, aren't you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. She said, come with me. Get your bathroom and come with me. And I went down the hall, and I went in this room, and this woman was trying to commit suicide. What had happened, she'd lost her eyesight that day. And I was privileged to go in and minister to her. And did you know, my dear friends, this is a true story. I don't know how many people that I visited while I was in the hospital. Now, this was a Catholic hospital, and I don't know, and I could be wrong, but I don't think the priest would visit anyone if they were not Catholic. Now, friends, I can't do that. I don't care what denomination, what you call yourself. If you have a need, I want to minister to you as much as I can. Well, again, he said, only the Lord's mercy keeps us from destruction. It is the Lord of mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me tell you something else that happened. I was in the hospital in traction for a long time. And one day the doctor, the surgeon, come in to see me. And they took the weights off my hip and my legs, and they had me stand up. And the doctor said, face me. So I faced the doctor, and he took wrapped him around my waist, and he stuck his thumb into my spine, and down I went like a ton of brick. Oh, that's where it's at. Well, son, we want you to prepare for surgery. I said, doctor, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I said, I cannot do it because God told me not to do it. And he looked at me as much, boy, this guy's a ring-a-ling. No, I said, God told me not to be operated, and I didn't. And now to show you how God works, when I got out of the hospital, they put a brace on me from the back of my neck to my tailbone. And so I was speaking at his church, filling in for a preacher, and after the service, a pastor and his wife and two other a man and a wife came over to their house for coffee and cake, and I was sitting on the edge of the chair, and this man says, are you in pain? Oh my, yes, I'm in pain. Well, he said, have you ever been to a chiropractor? Oh, I said, no, I don't go to chiropractors. They're phonies. Well, he said, then suffer, mister. I don't care, but that's what I am. And I apologized. I said, I shouldn't have said that. But I did, anyway. So he said, you come to my office tomorrow, and I'm going to look at your back. Now, the state had taken, I don't know how many hundreds of x-rays of my spine, always lying down. But when I got to his office, he said, now, I want you to stand when I take these pictures. Well, I said, well, it's not what the state did, but I'll do it. So I did. The next morning, he said, you come back, and he said, I'll look at the prints, and we'll see what we can find. Now, when I went back down to the next day, he told me to stand there, and he said, now, I want you to put your finger exactly where you are in terrible pain. And I said, okay, and I did. He turned the light on, and he said, look at that. Well, that vertebrae was laying almost crossways. Talk about a mess. He said, that's your problem. Well, I said, what can you do? Well, he said, I can adjust it. I said, no, you can't. I said, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. He said, you can do it. And I got on that table, and when he popped my back, I believe you could have heard it for a quarter of a mile. Oh, my. Guess what? It's like someone turned a light on in my head. I could see better. Now, I said, just lay there for a while. Now, I said, when I got, get up off the table. Don't put that steel brace back on. Go on home. And, dear friends, that's exactly what happened to me. Now, all the best doctors the state of Colorado, state of Washington had, couldn't find that. But if I'd have been standing, I'm sure they would have found it. Well, now, the Bible said that there was manna from heaven, and I read in 14 and 16, it says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not that it was what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Well, they describe what the manna was. Now, actually, friends, listen to this. The manna is a type of Christ. And I read in John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Friends, let me tell you what. If you're not born again today, you're dead in a knit. You say, what are you talking about, Mo? You're dead. If you've not been born again, Christ is the life of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way into heaven. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I don't agree with you. My church says that they're the way, that we can get to heaven if I join this church. Or if I get baptized, I can go to heaven. There is no word of truth in that, my friend. You can join every denomination and every church in the world. Now, the Catholics say that they're the true church. They are not. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Now, it says here that it came down from heaven. Again, let's go to the fourth verse. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Well, now they came to the wilderness of sin, and I read in verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Israel. Well, you know, It came as a small thing, and I read in Philippians 2:5-7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. From the beginning of time, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, then we wonder, well, how is this going to happen? Well, he didn't explain how it was going to happen. He just said it would happen. Well, it was sufficient for the day's need in verse 18. And they did meet it with an omer. He that gathereth much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every day according to his eating. Can you imagine, friends? Thousands and thousands of people out in that stinking wilderness, and they didn't have no way to get food and stuff. What did God do? He supplied their needs. He sent them manna. Oh boy, that's enough to give you a joy, isn't it? Well, you know what? He said that he would supply our needs through Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what he said. He didn't say he was going to give you your greeds, did he? No. He said, I'll give your needs. And have said this so many times. Well, my wife did something the other day. I think I told you about it. But I had led a young man to Christ. And they were out of work, didn't have no work. Of course, there's a lot of starving people back here in Colorado, believe me, thanks to our government. But anyway, so I walked in to get breakfast, and my wife had a $100 bill laying on my plate. I said, what's this all about? Well, she said, Cecil, we have a roof over our head. I said, that's correct. And she said, we have a gas in our car. We have clothes to wear. We don't want for anything. We don't need anything right now. I said, that's right, that's right. Well, she said, we have to go up and help that Mexican family. I said, I'm in total agreement. So we went and we bought a 3 weeks' worth of groceries and took up to them. I wish you'd have saw his face. Oh, my, he was so thankful. And then I had that privilege of introducing his wife to Christ, who has MS. And I wish you'd pray for that dear lady. Well, and then he called me last night. He said, Brother Mo, guess what? He said, I sold 2 paint jobs today. I said, I knew God would supply your need. Why? Because he said he would. My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. You say, well, he's not doing it for me. Well, is everything all right? Have you confessed your sin? And, you know, those are important things. Well, he said in John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Just think of it. The Son of God, living in heaven, why would he want to come to this stinking earth? Because he wanted to walk with his people and talk with his people, and he did. And then he called out 12 men to take this wonderful, glorious message into the world. And you know what? I'm a nobody, but that's what I'm doing, trying to take the gospel. I've been in Japan and all places of the world trying to tell people about Jesus and telling them what he did for me. That's very important. Well, God fed that grumbling crowd bread and meat. Now listen, friends, Christ comes to unhappy people to satisfy their spiritual hunger. Now, I'm asking you today, receive the bread from heaven by faith and live. You say, Cecil, I don't even know if I know Jesus. Well, that's your problem. Today, tonight, you have an opportunity to put your trust and faith in the Lord. You sure do. Now, I'm not going to promise you anything, only that the God will give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And he will supply your every need. Trust him. find out what he can do. He did it for me, and God's no respecter person. He don't love me no more than he loves you. If you don't know him tonight, would you like to trust him tonight? Would you like to? You got a little tugging at your old heart? Well, here's what we have to do. You bow your head to me right now, and you pray this powerful sinner's prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Father, I'm sorry for my bad life and what I've done, but today I'm really opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. Oh, friends, I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Only concerned that you have your sins forgiven and that you're going to heaven. I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. And don't murmur against God. He is everything that... Read the Bible. Find out what he can do, what he's done to this world. You say, well, look at our America. Look what's happening now in the White House. Hey, you think he's not on his throne? He sure is. And when the time comes to stop that, he will stop it. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, homosexuals all over the world, now they're having same-sex marriage almost in every state. You wait. It's coming. Jesus is coming back someday. I want you to know him. I want you to go to heaven. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.